Habits change. The reader I was at 5 and 15 is not the reader I am today. Growing up, I binge-read everything I could about Jill's Gymkhana and Veronica at the Wells, and later all the Nancy Drew stories and everything by Dorothy Sayers, Jane Austen and P.G. Woodhouse, to the extent that I could see where Woodhouse had lifted a paragraph from an earlier story to use it in a later one, where it worked just as well. In my teens, I was often bored. I scoured my parents' bookshelves for anything to entertain me. I wolfed down detective stories and Cold War thrillers and learned far more about adult relationships from the works of Jackie Collins than my convent boarding school ever taught me. These were the books that made me decide I wanted to be the writer of page-turners rather than slow, contemplative high literature. I read that too, but these were the books that got me through stressful times. The antidote to whatever was going on in my life. I've also been through periods when my children were little and when I was battling perimenopausal depression, when I could hardly read at all. Thankfully, today, the bug is back, but I don't binge read anymore. There are so many books out there, so many genres I'm interested in, so many things I need to research, that I tend to skip from one writer to the next. I usually have several books on the go. The precarious pile by my bed is typical of the reasons I read now, I think, and the type of thing I turn to. Two books are by friends. One is an adult thriller, a bestseller, and the other a detective story for 9 to 12s. I would happily read either of them anyway, but both have a greater resonance because I know how they were made. Next is Venice for Pleasure, a guidebook I've had since my early 20s. It's a walking guide to Venice, where I'm returning soon, and it stands out for its gossipy, endlessly informative style. Then there's a contemporary novel chosen by my book club. The long-standing members have been reading a book a month together for nearly 20 years and are responsible for choosing some of my favourite recent literature, none of which I would have chosen for myself. Did I think I wanted to read about Alzheimer's or the British occupation of Hamburg after the war or the early settlers of New York? Not at all. And yet I'm so grateful to have discovered Elizabeth is Missing, Aftermath and Golden Hill. At the top of the pile, there's a book by an author recommended by a friend a couple of years ago. Robert McFarlane has since become one of my go-to writers. Like the rest of his army of fans, I avidly follow his eclectic word of the day on Twitter. His love of language and landscape inspire me. They wouldn't have done in my teenage years when I wanted thrills, or at university when I needed radical new approaches to storytelling. Now I'm drawn to descriptions of schoolchildren exploring hedgerows. A new reading habit, and a happy one.